Continuing with our look at the inscriptions on the door of Jahannam, we will today look at the fourth door of Jahannam. And here the inscriptions say, أَذَلَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَحَانَ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَحَانَ أَحْلَ بَيْتِ أَذَلَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَعَانَ الظَّالِمِينَ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ لِلْمَخْلُوكِينَ Allah will humiliate the one who mocks Islam. Allah will humiliate the one who mocks the Ahlul Bayt, and Allah will humiliate the one who aids the unjust in their injustice to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's first try and understand what mockery means. Mockery is to ridicule something or someone, and the opposite is respect. It arises out of ignorance or pride, or very, very often out of an inferiority complex. In essence, it's really the lack of iman and reason. See, in life, many people don't see iman or faith as a basic human need, but they see it as an absence of reason. Others are a bit more cynical. They say that iman is a sign of weakness, something to resort to when everything else in life fails. In earlier times, this line of thinking believed that people used iman to explain the laws of nature, but now with the advancement of science, they seem to say that we've outgrown faith and we need to rely only on apparent reasoning. And those who resort to this are really making a mockery of themselves as Muslims. They don't ask questions in order to gain knowledge and insight, but to challenge Islam. And we find amongst us, you have people who will say, why do you have to do wudu? Why do you have to do ghusl? Why do you have to pray like this? Especially when it comes to the taharat of wudu and ghusl. The normal challenge we get is when people say, surely that was for the Arabs whose hygiene was questionable. We don't seem to understand that it's got nothing to do with that. But albeit, faith and reason go hand in hand. One without the other is absolutely fatal to the human being. See, through iman we experience the essence of Allah. Through reason we experience His expression. And if we want to fulfill the respect that is due to Islam, the first step is to fulfill the orders that have been laid down for our own benefit, for the benefit of the human being. When we love and respect someone, for example, a parent or a spouse or a child, the first manifestation of that love is to be able to avoid anything which would hurt them or displease them. To disobey someone we love is a mockery of that love and respect. I'm not talking about children here. I'm talking about somebody of a greater authority like parents. Even to fulfill the orders unenthusiastically is a mockery, because we perform them sort of lethargically and we think, oh God, not again. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam puts it very well when he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that his intercession will not extend to those who take salah lightly. Now, he didn't say that those who don't pray, nor did he say that this refers to those who cover up the truth. He's addressing those who pray. Those who pray as and when it suits them, or in a way which doesn't reflect the importance of salah. To remain passive as a believer, as a mu'min, is a mockery of Islam as well. When we see danger, we need to protect ourselves. When we see need, we don't only raise our hands in dua, but we must address the need. But maybe the worst form of mockery is to look down upon those who do follow and respect Islam, and then we call them backwards, or we say they're not with the time, or we say they're fundamentalists. You know, it's where the love of the world, which is known as hubb ad-dunya, leads one to believe that respect and position lies in wealth or profession or power or someone else other than Allah. And if we look at the Quran, it's full of examples of people like that who fell in the trap but realized it when it was too late. The greatest example I have in front of me is Fir'aun. Fir'aun demeaned Prophet Musa and Prophet Harun alayhi salam. And we see it in the whole story, how at the end, how he realizes, because he says just while it's drowning, that I believe in the Rabb of Musa and Harun. And Allah tells him, now, al-an, now. Maybe I should end with an ayah from Surah Luqman, Surah number 31, ayah 33, where Allah says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ Let not the life of the world deceive you, nor let the deceiver, that is Shaitan, deceive you in regards to Allah. Now the second inscription was, قُلَّا أَسَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَةِ This is the ayah of Surah Ash-Shu'ara, Surah number 42, ayah 23. Say, O Muhammad, tell them, I don't ask you of any reward except love of my near relations. And the second inscription relates to the Ahlul Bayt, who are mentioned in this ayah. You know, love is the origin and foundation of all human interaction. So when the Prophet is saying, I don't want any reward from my prophethood except إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى, love for my near relations, it starts off by acknowledging their position with regard to their proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the only way we can do that is to be able to understand who the Ahlul Bayt were. I will take the Hadith of Thaqalain, the Hadith of the two heavy items as such, which is from the last sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he gave at Ghadir. He said, O my people, I leave amongst you two important items, two weighty items, the Book of Allah and my Ahlul Bayt. Should you be attached to these two, never shall you go astray after me. For indeed these two will never be separated from one another or until they meet me at the spring of Kawthar in Jannah. And when he said this at another sermon in Arafat, which is also one of the last sermons he gave, this was on his last Hajj, he said, I leave behind you two things, the Book of Allah and my Sunnah. So he likened his Sunnah with the Ahlul Bayt, the living Quran as such, those who acted out what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught. You know, it's just so important to understand that what we are supposed to do is respect those and love those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do so through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what is this love? How do we show that we love someone? Well, love has to be manifested. If it does not manifest itself into actions, then it's mockery of the person whom it's directed towards. You imagine if you kept on telling your child you love him or her very much, but treated them with indifference. Would they really believe that you love them? Forget a child. Absolutely anybody in your life. When we love the Ahlul Bayt, it's to be able to understand that these are the ones that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us to hang on to, and those who followed his sunnah to a T. There's a poem that was written about those who mocked the Ahlul Bayt, and I'd like to read it out to you. It says, I would like a little of the Ahlul Bayt, please. Not enough to brighten my nafs or disturb my sleep, but just enough to see me through my exams and problems. I don't want enough of them to make me wear hijab or pray salah or give zakah. I want fulfillment of desires, not transformation. I want the warmth of belonging to their community when I need them, but I don't want to provide the warmth through their love. So I'd like to ask you, how much of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Ahlul Bayt do you want? And finally, the inscription says, Allah will humiliate one who aids the unjust in their injustice towards his creation. See, in life, freedom is a requisite that every single living creature needs. Freedom means the absence of obstacles in the way of growth. As human beings, we need both social and spiritual freedom. Social freedom is having the freedom in connection with other individuals in society, so they do not stop our growth, our reaching our full potential. They do not imprison us, they don't enslave us, or more important so, they don't exploit our physical and mental powers for their own interests. It's very important we understand that. We are not allowed to be control freaks in other people's lives. And one of the greatest problems of human beings throughout history, if you read history, you see this again and again and again, is the abuse of power by somebody who is more powerful in subjugating somebody who is somewhere else, enslaving that person or that group of people so that they can enjoy the fruits of their lives and labor. Now, if you look at the Bani Israel, and the greatest enslaver that I can take an example was, is Fir'aun. When Fir'aun tells Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun, he called the Bani Israel my servants and slaves. Now, so Fir'aun was totally open about his exploitations and enslavement, and quite proud of it too. He was announcing it. Well, today we deprive others of their rights and freedom under the pretext of defending peace and liberty. Let me give you an example. If I go to a personal example, in our personal lives, let me give an example generally. Have you ever wondered where the ball you kick from, where you bought the ball you kick in the garden, or the jeans you wear were made? Have you thought that maybe, just maybe, they were made in a factory in a third world country where a young child was forced to work for 3/4 of the day and paid a minute fraction of the price you paid? This is one of the issues that where we assist the unjust in further exploiting other human beings, yet we turn a blind eye. How many times have we turned round in our lives and said, this is my son, my daughter, my spouse, my wife especially, and they will do as I say or else. Again, that is zulm, that is injustice. When Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam was asked, what is the smallest form of zulm? He took the man's hand and gently squeezed it. And the man just for a minute moved his hand away, and Imam said, that is the smallest form of zulm. Can you imagine mental and physical abuse? It's awful. You know, if I want to explain what exploitation is, maybe I will use the words of the great alim, Shaheed Murtaza Mutahhari. And he writes that, do you know what exploitation means? He said it means picking someone else's fruit. Because for each person, his essence is a fruitful tree, and his labor and thoughts are the product of that tree. The crop must be theirs, but when others seize these fruits by one means or another, we say a person is exploited. He said, in Islam, life is not a rat race for the survival of the fittest, but the race is for who can bend down the most to lift up those who fall. And we have some great lessons in history where we see what you do comes back. You know, Muhammad ibn Abdul Malik was a minister in the Abbasid Caliphate. He had an oven made of iron in which the inside was lined with sharp rods. When a political prisoner was brought to him, he would put the person in that oven, light it, and burn them alive. When Mutawakkil became the Khalifa, he ordered the imprisonment of Muhammad ibn Abdul Malik in his own prison and to be meted out with the same punishment for political reasons. And in prison, just before his execution, Muhammad ibn Abdul Malik wrote a poem, and if I can just tell you the gist of it, he said that when one does something in the world, it is punishable in the world. When Mutawakkil read the poem, he ordered freedom for him, but the royal decree was too late because Ibn Abdul Malik was dead in his own oven. It will always come back. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his prophet in this hadith, says, not only will we suffer here, we'll be at loss here, but it will be at loss in the Akhirah as well, because the abode will be Jahannam. When we treat others with injustice, and that is why that wonderful saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he said that not for anything in the world, absolutely nothing, would he commit injustice. He would not even take a grain of rice from the mouth of an ant, because the consequences are absolutely unbearable. So the next time we play control freaks and we want people to do our way or the highway, think about it. Think about the door of Jahannam. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow.